Hello everyone, how are you? It's time to talk about some of these stories. Let me see here. All of these stories came out yesterday, but better late than never, with the exception that I did re read Beyoncé's GQ magazine cover article, and I'm so glad that I did. I don't read celebrity profiles like I used to because I'm so pressed for time and I really enjoyed what Beyoncé had to say in that article, and I will be getting to that shortly. So I am going to be going over some quotes that I pulled from the article in a few minutes. First up top, I got to talk about Beyoncé receiving zero country music award nominations. So, just to refresh your memory a little bit, Beyoncé released Texas, the single Texas Hold'em in February. Now, Texas Hold'em became the first song by a black female artist to top Billboard's Hot Country Music charts. And the success of Texas Hold'em alone is the reason why Beyoncé fans are shocked, stunned that she didn't receive any nominations. So I'm going to read something that I saw Joy Ann Reid posted on her Instagram. She said, Joy said, "Racism is alive and well in America. Country music was invented by Black Americans, and yet a Black superstar artist from Texas who had one of the best-selling country albums of all time gets shut out of the CMA Awards. Make it make sense." Shaboozey tweeted, "Thank you, Beyoncé, for opening a door for us, starting a conversation, and giving us one of the most innovative country albums of all time." So, I understand that I am supposed to be irate about Beyoncé getting snubbed. Now, Beyoncé was very public about the fact that an experience that she had prompted her to do a country album because she says she felt unwelcome. We all know that. I think it was 2015, I don't remember the year, but Beyoncé was on stage with the Dixie Chicks. They're now called the Chicks. They were probably going by the Dixie Chicks at the time. But, whatever. I have no problem with Dixie Chicks, but apparently they gotta go by the Chicks. Anyway, so Beyoncé was on stage with them singing her song Daddy Lessons, and Beyoncé says that she felt extremely unwelcomed at that event. I don't think she specified it, but everybody knows what she's talking about. So a podcaster that I listened to, he went back and watched her performance, and he said the crowd was pretty awful. And obviously, if the crowd is awful when you're performing, that's not the only time that you're going to feel the cold shoulder. I'm sure everybody backstage and that was working, the other artists, just the whole vibe, the energy was probably really shitty. Now, Beyoncé had already conquered the world at that point, so they probably were like, why is this black bitch on stage singing as if black people did not create country music? Black people did create country music. But in America, we love erasure here and we love to rewrite history here. So that's why white people can claim ownership to things that they actually have stolen and appropriated, just in general. So, anyways, I know that I'm supposed to be outraged about this, but I personally, about Beyoncé not getting CMA nominations. But I have conflicted feelings because I feel like Beyoncé is about to sweep everything. I feel like she's about to sweep the Grammys. She's about to sweep all types of awards. But by her getting snubbed, she's proving her point about the racism and about how the CMAs have treated her. And it's unfortunate. This is so deliberate, but I don't know the history, right? I feel like Hootie and the Blowfish, a band with a black singer who's, he's black on the outside, but white on the inside. Like, Darius, I feel like they've gotten a lot of love and awards, maybe Grammys. I don't know about the CMAs. Like, I don't know the history of the CMAs. I don't know if they completely shut out black artists. I don't know if they have token black artists like Hootie and the Blowfish. I also don't know if how many black people are really putting music out in this genre. Beyonce really helped to shine a spotlight on people like Shaboozey and the other black artists on her album, Cowboy Carter, but I don't know enough about the CMAs to just say that the CMA, like, I can't say the CMAs are just don't want to have anything to do with black artists. I believe that Beyonce is gonna sweep everything, and I don't. Like I said, it's hard. I don't really feel like the CMAs are that big of a deal, but I also believe that she should be vocal. She should speak out and say, I have achieved so much with my country singles and my country album. Why am I being shut out? So if she calls them out, that's something. I'd be pretty satisfied with that. But as far as her not getting any nominations and saying nothing about it, I oppose that. But I just think she's achieved so much. She is definitely above any award or any award show. She is a legend. She's an icon. And that doesn't excuse blatant racism or disrespect by any means. But I would like the CMAs to explain why she was shut out. I would like for the CMAs to be called out, and I'd like for them to explain why she wasn't nominated. But me personally, I don't think it's that serious that she was not nominated, simply because she's not someone without any success or who won't receive any awards. And I understand the symbolism and the representation. I understand the importance of the CMAs, but me personally, I'm not. As you could tell, I'm not bent out of shape about this. I just want them to be held accountable. I hope I'm making sense. Like, I want the CMAs to speak up, try to defend the organization. I want that more than I want the nominations for her. But for her not, for with the CMAs, but for her not to get one for Texas Hold'em is absurd. I really enjoy Texas Hold'em. Haven't listened to the album in a while, but I really, really kept that album on repeat. Really enjoy it. And I know I'm gonna make sure I go to a Beyoncé concert. Really should have gone to Renaissance, but I haven't been to a Beyoncé concert yet, so I plan on changing that. So Beyoncé is on the cover of GQ magazine, and I got some quotes for y'all. Like I said, I do. Now, at the beginning of the article, it says that the interview was conducted via email. So guess what, y'all? We don't know who the fuck wrote these answers. We don't know who the fuck wrote these goddamn answers. Or sorry, typed them. However, what was I gonna say? Some of the things that Beyonce was saying are things that she has said before in other interviews. So, I can't speak to whether or not, I can't speak to whether or not she wrote her responses or somebody who works for her wrote her responses. But, anyways, Beyonce. I love the photos of her in the sheer top, sheer dress, I guess. So Beyonce's titties look like 100% fake in those photos. And like, I want to get my tits done, Like, I have, after seeing those photos, I want to get my titties done. I have big tits. I don't need implants, but seeing these pictures, like, I want to get my tits done. And I don't know what they could do because they're already big, but That's a really nice, super sexy photo. It's towards the top of the article. So sorry. So like I said, I just looked at it again, and the article says, "We got a rare glimpse in an exclusive back and forth conducted via email this summer." Get the fuck out of here, y'all. We don't know who the hell typed these answers. Beyonce, let me tell you something. Not many artists can conduct an interview via email. That is an instant no, but Beyonce could play by her own rules. Okay, so the very first thing I got on for that I pulled from GQ is the interviewer asks types. Let me be accurate. The interviewer typed the following question in an email to Beyonce. Quote, "Where are you at this moment? What were you doing today?" Question mark. End of question. Beyonce supposedly emailed back, "Today I'm on the East Coast. Don't you love the specificity there?" I love how Beyonce knows how to be a private ass bitch. The bitch said she's on the East Coast. Do you know how many states that could be? Oh my God. I stan. I love I believe in privacy, and Beyonce is so private, and she masters A-list fame and the duality of being at the top tier of celebrity status while also being very private. I respect it. So Beyonce supposedly typed, "Today I'm on the East Coast while I enjoy a little bit of summer sunshine. Most days I try to wake up around 6 a.m., squeezing in an hour or two to work before the little ones are up. Parenting while working, I move forward, embracing the beauty and the chaos of it all. Our home is alive with cousins and friends, spontaneous talent shows, and the clatter of dominoes. I've been trying to focus on my health, taking my supplements, and eating very clean. I've given up meat except for turkey this summer. I'm trying to muster the strength to work out, but I just can't do it today. Maybe tomorrow." Ha. Ha. H-A-A-A-A exclamation point. Okay. As I said, I already talked about her mentioning the East Coast. She wakes up at 6 a.m. I wake up pretty early, so that's not that impressive to me. I typically wake up at about 7 just naturally. But she wants to wake up before her kids do so she could have her own time, which I love. So, and I loved hearing that she said her home is alive with cousins and friends, spontaneous talent shows, and the clatter of dominoes. Like, me reading that just reminds me that, like, I'm sorry, but Beyonce lives a very charmed life. She's better than us, and she's living a life that's better than us. I'm sorry. I know that's not the correct thing to say. I know we're all equal, but like, I just, what a life. What a life. Like I've said, I would love to trade places with Beyonce for one day. She is at the top of my list. And Lori Harvey is number two because I would sleep with every man I want to sleep with if I was Lori Harvey. So Beyonce's number one, Lori Harvey's number two. But what a charmed life that you get to have like such normalcy and friends over. You guys are playing dominoes. You probably have like really great meals from a chef. You get to drink your fucking whiskey. What a charmed life. Next, we got the interviewing typing another question to Beyonce, which is, quote, "Your new album is notably called Cowboy Carter, not Cowgirl Carter. What are you trying to say with that? And now with Sir Davis about gender and about race through these titles." I never thought about the album being called Cowboy Carter. I just know Carter is her last name. I didn't think it should ever be called Cowgirl Carter. And once the interviewer said that, and then mentioning Sir Davis, I was like, oh my gosh, it was right there in our faces, at least for myself. And I never thought about that. So I was like, wow. Like, that really took me aback. Really, really did. What a great observation. Like, if I interviewed Beyonce, I would have never thought to ask that question. So Beyonce said, I wanted everyone to take a minute to research on the word cowboy. History is often told by the victors, and American history, it's been rewritten endlessly. Up to a quarter of all cowboys were black. These men faced a world that refused to see them as equal, yet they were the backbone of the cattle industry. Yeah. I love that Beyonce, end quote, sorry, is on a mission to educate because I am learning. Just that right there, that a quarter of all cowboys were black. I'm learning. I'm loving this era of Beyonce where she is one of the most Afrocentric artists there is, but she has a passion for educating and having black people feel proud. And it's very moving and powerful and important because anything she says virtually goes viral. So she is using her status and her influence for good. And I'm very appreciative of that. All right, so here are some other quotes that I got from the article. Beyonce said, making liquor has been in Southern families like mine for many generations. The Jack Daniel's famous recipe, that was heavily influenced by a black man named Nathan Nearest Green. He was a former slave who became Jack Daniel's master distiller. Now there's a delicious whiskey. Uncle Nearest Premium Whiskey, named after him, that is run by two women, Nearest Green's great-great-granddaughter, Victoria Edie Butler, alongside Fawn Weaver. Victoria, in true legacy form to what Mr. Nearest started, is one of the first black female master blenders in American history. Hopefully, this story, along with others like Victoria's and Fawn's, and now mine, will continue to open many to continue to open more doors. She really is building an insane legacy. Like, you have to respect Beyonce's work ethic, and you have to respect her desire to be revolutionary and create change. And she does it. She doesn't half-ass anything. She doesn't fail. She succeeds and excels. It's breathtaking. So, another quote from the article from Beyonce. I'm here to focus on the quality. We took our time and we did our research and we have earned respect for our brand. I try to choose integrity over shortcuts. I've learned that true success isn't about leaning on a name. It's about crafting something genuine, something that could hold its own. It's not about being perfect. It's about being revolutionary. Working on the music for Cowboy Carter and launching this exciting new project feel nothing like prison nor a burden. In fact, I only work on what liberates me. It is fame that can at times feel like prison. So when you don't see me on red carpets, and when I disappear until I have art to share, that's why. Before anyone knew my association with Sir Davis, I wanted the brand to gain its critical acclaim based on its taste and craftsmanship. I was adamant that we put our product in front of the toughest critics and earn their respect for the strength of the whiskey itself. After finalizing our recipe, we began submitting the whiskey into competitions to critics for tastings across the globe. There was no trace of Beyonce on the bottles or in any of the branding. It was very intentional. I had little boundaries and said yes to everything, but I've paid my dues 100 times over. I've worked harder than anyone I know, and now I work smarter. In the end, the biggest reward is personal joy. Has what I created pushed others to think freely and believe in the impossible? If the answer to that question is yes, then that is the gift. So, end quote. Those were different quotes. So I remember at some point in the article, the interviewer asks her a question and she doesn't answer. I can't remember what question that was, but it was a really solid article. Well done to Beyonce or whoever typed out the answers, but as I've said, it has Beyonce written, those answers have Beyonce written all over it. Those are things that she's always said. So if she didn't type it, she approved it, put her stamp on it, put her spin on it, and she's impressive. If anything, Beyonce is impressive. That perfectionism, that work ethic, it really shines through in what she puts out. So, moving right along, and I haven't tried the whiskey yet. Jeez, I'm trying to think. I should try the whiskey soon so I could review it, but I feel like most of you guys will have tried it yourself. And I honestly actually kind of take that back. I don't know enough about whiskey to give a good review, but my belly is ready. Next, we got Tiffany Haddish at New York Fashion Week. So I think it was Kathy Hilton told her to get up and walk in the show. She got up and walked in the show. Now, I listened to a white podcaster yesterday saying that there was nothing wrong with Tiffany doing it, and that was very funny. That podcaster is white, and that podcaster does not understand why what Tiffany did was problematic. I am not white. I am black. I thoroughly understand why it was problematic. So, if you are like that podcaster who does not know about racial issues and racial history in America as it pertains to something like what Tiffany Haddish did, I will try, keyword try, to enlighten you, but I'm not going deep on this at all. The problem with what Tiffany Haddish did is that it was not her idea. And so, me as a black person and other black people, we recognize that it is a problem whenever a white person basically says, go make an ass out of yourself. Now, if Kathy Hilton told Paris to do that, I wouldn't be in a position to say anything. If a black person told Tiffany to do that, I also wouldn't be in a position to say anything. Tiffany would be an idiot, but it would be from a different scale or on a different scale. But for a white person to basically tell a black person, act stupid, be disruptive, be ghetto, because we want to laugh at you like they're at some minstrel show. Like a black person is there not to enjoy the fashion show, but to entertain by acting like a clown in one of the most elitist, classist, racist, I think I already said classist, industries in the world is a problem. If a black person is going to act a fool, it needs to be their idea and on their volition. But Tiffany was sitting down and instructed to go coon, to go act like a little performance circus monkey, and that's what she did. So that's why it's a problem. It's also a problem coming from Tiffany Haddish because she has always consistently said and done things to stand out, basically, by being ghetto. She passed out fried chicken all while on the red carpet one time at a very prestigious award show. There's so many things she could have passed out, so many things that would have made headlines and would have gotten her on the blogs, gotten her the viral clips. Like she has done and said things time and time again to coon or just to be an idiot. So to that white podcaster and to any white person who does, and any Uncle Tom ass black person who's that stupid who to not recognize why this was a problem, please understand that no white person is going to tell me to do something ghetto and stupid in front of white people, and I'm going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I understand that they are looking to make a fool out of me when they can make fools out of themselves. If you want somebody to interrupt a fashion show, Kathy Hilton, get your ass up and walk. Or tell your daughter to walk. Or tell another white person to walk. Do not tell a black person to do it. Okay, hopefully I made myself clear. I think I have. Moving right along, Kendrick Lamar is performing at the Super Bowl. Lil Wayne fans are really bursting all the veins in their necks and in their faces. They are tweeting. They are posting videos. They are complaining. They are whining. They are bitching. They are having meltdowns. Kendrick Lamar is a very solid performer. One time somebody said that he's a hotep, and I hate that I saw that because I can't get it out of my mind. It bothers me. I need to Google, actually, so I could maybe find examples because I've not been able to get that out of my mind. Oh, and I saw that somebody said he's a hotep. I saw that hotep about 2 years ago, and I've been traumatized. But anyways, Kendrick is a really good performer, and Lil Wayne, I'm a very big fan of a decent amount of his music, and he is a very brilliant wordsmith. However, I do not like the idea that somebody should perform in the Super Bowl just because the Super Bowl is being held in the city that they're from. I don't think that's a good argument. And I know it's bigger than that. It's more like, oh, he's so accomplished. He's so talented. But he's not on Kendrick Lamar's level of performance right now. I don't think I need to elaborate. So I'm going to leave it at that. It's funny though. People always get really worked up about who deserves certain opportunities. And can we just look at the actual product that the people are putting out that we're trying to debate about? Kendrick knows how to put on a motherfucking concert. Like, Lil Wayne does not seem present when he performs a lot of time. So I think I want the most reliable performer at the fucking Super Bowl. I don't think that's too much to ask for. Now, Kendrick Lamar, the fact that he's going to perform Not Like Us. I feel for Drake. I do. And no, Drake is not a pedophile as far as I know. I think we need to focus on real pedophiles. I think there's a problem with throwing that word around and applying it to somebody who is not that. So I'm not into that. Other than that, Not Like Us, it's too much of a good song. I was listening to it like a month ago and losing my mind. Like, it's too much of a fucking good song. Next, we got Brian McKnight trolling his children about Fatherhood Fridays. Now, Brian McKnight has disowned his 3 children, and he only claims ownership. He only claims his youngest child. I don't really understand why you're doing a Fatherhood Fridays when you're not being a good father. So Brian McKnight put out a video saying, quote, Fatherhood Fridays is about how when you do things the right way with God on your side, with the person made for you, that happiness and joy you feel will be greater than anything you could have ever imagined. And he shows a photo of his toddler and his stepchildren and whoever his bitch is. Let's see. He credits his youngest child for being the official blood connector between him and his bitch. And he says he's the one that ties us together. They gave me the gift of true fatherhood. He's talking about his stepchildren, by the way. They're mine. I am theirs. What we have is symbiotic. They nurture me as much as I nurture them. See, there's a huge difference when a man is a father out of choice and desire and not out of obligation. And that's what Fatherhood Fridays is all about, the joys of fatherhood. Okay. At what point are we going to make it a crime to just publicly emotionally abuse people? Because that's what this is. Imagine your parent saying that there's a huge difference when a man is a father out of choice and desire and not out of obligation. And saying how, like, finally he's a father and this, that, and the other, and it's greater than he could have ever imagined. Like, he should have to pay a fine. There should be a civil lawsuit for this type of emotional abuse because I'm bothered by it. It makes me sad. It's not appropriate. And as much as people are dragging Brian McKnight, I don't think he cares. Who knows if he even has access to view what people are saying about him? Who knows if it's an assistant not running his shit? I'm disgusted and I'm very sad for his children. And I don't even know if they have any money, any of his money. I doubt it. If he's not claiming them. And so how sad is that on top of all this embarrassment? Anyway, y'all don't need a rant. So that's it for today. Love y'all. Talk to you soon.